Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gorick.
And we are back right away. Yeah, we made you wait, I don't know how many months in between episodes, and now a mere couple of hours.
Yay!
That's what happens when you get part one and part two.
I know, we're super excited.
Yeah, we finished it and we're like, we weren't technically planning on doing another one right away, but everybody just sort of looked at each other and we're like, we want to watch the next part, right? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Oh, it was heavy. As we said last time, I didn't really remember everything. I remembered a few things.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you guys, but I feel emotionally wrung out after that.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Mm-hmm. They kept Nicole dead for a long time.
I mean, I did enjoy sparkly ghost Nicole.
She's fabulous. Very beautiful. Look on her. Also, the frog getting loose was very funny.
I just want to go back and rewatch Jeremy be like, Nicole. I
know. And Nicole's line of, can we talk about this dress? Which is great.
Yes.
Because it's like, where did that come from? You know, it's astral projection. So we feel like it's coming from her.
Yeah. She wants to wear a fabulous dress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Was she astrally projecting and like picturing herself that way? Because she's thinking of Waverly. Oh, I should also mention, we watched Holy War, part two, season four, episode six. Just to, you know, bring
set
that together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So they did keep her dead for quite a while.
Alarmingly long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's television time, so we don't actually know.
Also, we did say if she was in the ice water, it would give them more time. That was a prescient thing.
I wish I would have looked up in between episodes, like how long is the record for, like, you know, because I feel like I want to hear news stories about people who were under for like 40 minutes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And still managed to live after being near frozen for that long. Because, I mean, it's television time, so we don't know exactly how long. But it was long enough for Waverly to drive all the way to wherever the ranch is. And I feel like it's probably a ways outside of town. So
yeah, I feel like it was getting close to an hour.
It might have been.
Pushing it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But she was fine. And they did not explain why Nedley was wearing a bear head, which was great.
And eventually doing his chanting with a beer.
Yep. It was
Nedley.
That whole thing was very tense, but also funny.
Yeah, I think that is what I love about the show is that, you know, Nicole can be dying and Nedley can make me laugh by saying that that's my favorite Spice Girl song, Two Becomes One.
I love it.
Like every time he talks, I learn something new about that character that I just love.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's got so many layers. I love it. Like Rosita, for example.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting that she's been standing there. I mean, maybe she was sitting for some of the time.
I hope so.
I would hope so too. For 18 months, because
like, she can't leave.
Sort of like being in lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Except she's probably a little chillier.
Outside. Yeah, she's outside on a rock.
She's definitely physically distant from everyone. So didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the idea of like, oh, it's back to the Amelite. Nice, nice return to
a
nice thing from first season. I have a nice Amelite necklace, which makes me happy every time I wear it.
We need like matching Amelite necklaces.
You can get them in Jasper. I remember sending photos to you guys the last time I was there when I saw them.
Yeah. I believe a listener, Kit, got it for me. And I think she got it at the store in the Federal Building that no longer exists. The gift store.
So. Oh, thwarted.
Yep. But yeah, so that was a nice... I like the idea, too, like that they were planning on having those five or six pieces of Amelite and just like moving them along until they got all the way back.
Hey, it solves the problem.
Absolutely.
It would have taken forever.
Would have taken
but
a
it
very,
would work.
Very long time.
Yep. Until they got their shortcut. And of course, the nun turned out to be a demon of some
runs
sort.
Runs a fight club.
I know. What ridiculous
the
is
nun
that?
Fight club. Mm-hmm. Those nuns are vicious.
Oh my God, with their spears.
Yeah.
And,
it was intense. I appreciated the sort of meta commentary about, well, you know, why does it always come down to women fighting and turning against
each other?
And then the fact that they turn that on its ear and they fight together against the nuns, which was...
Yes. And there was that lovely little moment that she uses the move that dolls taught her.
Oh,
yes.
I know. Yes.
Which I'm not sure I would have remembered if she hadn't said thank you, dolls. So I'm glad that they, I don't think that was a step too far. I'm glad they put that in there remind me.
Well, especially since we haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a very long time.
We needed the reminder.
Mm-hmm. And then I love her, Winona's speech to Peacemaker too.
Yes.
Like very well delivered in a very Winona way. Like it could have, if the directing or the acting had not been as good as it is, they could have made it too over the top speechifying. Instead, it was just right. And then you get the Luke Skywalker moment where she reaches out for it and it, you know, comes to her hand and turns
and then
into the gun.
Gets back into the gun.
Yeah.
I like that it was sword and then gun.
Yep.
Yep.
In like a fiery, smoky transformation, and
and you're like, shoot her in the between the eyes, and then it's exactly what she does.
I love Winona being like, you want to tell her? And Rizzi's like, eh.
I love their like buddy cop comedy bit. Those two,
they have always had a really good chemistry, and I'm glad that they didn't have to kill each other. That made me happy.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it seems to be a happy ending, or maybe not ending, but ending for now, for Rosita to be able to find somewhere that she is safe.
Yes, that's not a rock in the middle of nowhere.
Surrounded by old friends.
Yes.
And potentially lovers.
Yep.
I think, too, like we're seeing this whole like two-parter is in the middle of the season, but we had that gap again between watching them, and it kind of did a nice job of wrapping up most of the stuff. So like here, it's like that the storyline can continue. Rosita could come back. She could not come back. So we don't really know, is Rosita going to be involved in this like 4B?
Yeah. It's very like this is, I feel like this is a comfortable, it's a satisfying ending for her if she doesn't come back. And I love her, so I would be happy if she did come back. But if she doesn't, that's also okay. Because I love her. And then after that is when like most of the real shit went down.
Ooh, yeah.
Because wow, there was a lot. Though I will say the one part that I remembered very clearly the most was the part that Kirsten reacted to the most strongly.
Oh yeah.
And that is after that amazing scene of Doc talking down Holt, and we'll get to what Waverly did, but and like it was just super powerful, and I noticed that this time watching that the camera was focused on Holt the whole time. Like Doc was out of focus a little bit in the background, which I think now I realize, oh, that's a little bit of a tell that something's going to happen to him there. This is his last final moment there, and and when he turns around and Winona shoots him in the back, and I was just gutted.
Yes,
Kirsten was screaming.
It's been a long time since I've rewatched past seasons. I've never seen Peacemaker make a bullet wound like that. Like Holt was human, I think, or some closer to.
Because you could see like
it
the
looked
blood
like a normal
hole.
Bullet wound instead of like a magical glow, and like the gun was clear, not glowing that I saw.
We didn't see the gun, but it probably wouldn't have glowed because
I don't think so.
As far as we know.
Oh, it just human? like I never thought I'd have my feel like my heart got ripped out watching him get shot.
Yeah, I think it's the first time she killed a human.
Yeah. In the back.
Like, in the back, too.
Yes.
And did not regret it one little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was that line from Holt earlier. I can't remember if it was this episode or the previous one, talking about how... Oh, it was this episode.
It was this episode.
Yeah, when he's talking to Doc in the sheriff's station saying... You know, there's a woman that I'd love to ask out from the diner and love to take her to Shorty's for dinner without having to worry about an ERP shooting me in the back.
Yeah.
Total foreshadowing, which I didn't realize the first time I watched it, because then he does get shot in the back by an ERP.
Well, and there's the whole moment with Doc and Winona in the museum where he talks about how like anyone who is so cowardly to shoot someone in the back does not deserve to be remembered or, you know, known.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then she goes and does it. And because this show is so great, like I was just like, Winona, we're done. This is the worst thing. It's so terrible. But then she explains her reasoning and I'm like, oh, of course. Like, this is the way that you would feel.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about honor. She has just to live day after day. She's been through so much. She is all broken up inside, as she says.
Survival mode for her, right?
And mm-hmm. she just found out that they were the ones who instigated the kidnapping of Alice and why she's not with Alice right now.
Yep. Yeah. So layer upon layer upon layer.
I still don't think it makes it right.
No, absolutely
does not make it right.
I'm still mad at her.
Oh, but you're so like, mad.
And I think it's setting up. This is sort of the open ended piece where it's setting up her to have to actually deal with the fact that she murdered a person.
I think so. And for Doc to deal with just how broken Winona actually is.
And can they come back from that?
Yeah, right.
The distance between them is enormous. Massive.
Man, Tim Rosen's performance was so
well, both
nuanced.
Of them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Like his reaction was, I mean, it was like I expected it to be bigger, but it was so much better that it was a little more nuanced and underplayed. And he was just, you know, more hurt than angry almost. It was both, but that just,
and I just think
really
defeated in a way too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think he's recognizing maybe something in Winona that he didn't in himself too, but also in her that he hoped wasn't there or that she could overcome and
or avoid.
Exactly.
And that he's recognizing within himself that he wants to move on from that. And she clearly
is not ready.
Mm-mm. She is not in that place. But speaking of emotional changes in doing things you don't expect and stuff, Waverly has now also murdered a human. At the beginning of that scene, I was so scared that she was going to shoot somebody with a shotgun and she was going to become a murderer. And then she becomes a murderer in a much more personal, up-close, like, way. And
Yeah.
I don't think we saw a lot of the fallout from that yet, but I suspect it's to come.
It's got to come. And I think because those last few minutes, there was so much going on.
Yeah.
Like, I did have a moment of like, whoa, Waverly's a murderer. And then Winona pulls up and everything just keeps moving forward. And and when I heard that gunshot go off, I honestly was like, let it be anybody but Winona. I was like, let Rachel have showed up in Doc's car and like shot him like somebody else.
Yep. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, and I think too, I do like how they send Waverly into that situation and you're sort of thinking she can't do it because she doesn't have Peacemaker and she doesn't have, because we're not really sure if Mama Clayton is real, like she's real, if she's human or not,
right?
And then I think we still kind of don't,
I feel
necessarily
like she,
know.
I feel like she is, and I do think that Waverly could have just killed her with a shotgun.
But then she takes care of her business. Also, we do learn she definitely did help them get out of the garden.
Yes,
that's true.
It's confirmed.
Or she says.
She claims to have had that power.
It seems like it would be true. Like, there's no real reason to doubt her.
Yeah.
No.
Because I feel like if she hadn't done it, she might even gloat.
Well, that's the thing, like, she has no reason to lie in that moment.
Yep. Yeah. And the fact that Waverly also earlier was saying, you know, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to get really mad and I don't even know what would happen. What will happen if I get really mad? And now we know, because she's a friggin' angel and
brings out her angel juice.
Zap.
Angel of vengeance, apparently.
Yep. But I mean, I think there was no other way for it to go, because it sounds like, based on what we know about this curse, until both sides of it are dead, it's just like it's never going to be over. So my impression was that they both needed to be dead at the same time. So unless you're going to also drown Mama Clanton and try to bring her back, which I don't think she would be down with anyway. Like, she had to die. Otherwise, it was her or Nicole.
Yeah.
It's just a very hands-on way to kill someone.
Yes. Yeah. Like, couldn't they just put her in a frog and just, like, let her jump around?
Run around.
I feel like that would have taken too much time. We already had Nicole in the ice bath.
She was, breathing cold air, ghosty Nicole.
Yep. Yeah. So it had to happen. Somebody had to kill her. And it will be interesting to see how Waverly deals with the emotional fallout of that choice.
She's that, like, I don't know how she's going to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anyone handles taking a life, but someone like Waverly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
Also, what happens to Mama Clanton's special powers now? Because it has to go to...
Does it make Cleo?
Does it make heir? Cleo's the only one who's living, right? Yeah. Because Holt is dead and Billy's a Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Holt said, you know, I'm the Clanton heir now. So, which made me think maybe he already had it, whatever it was, but didn't get a chance to use it because he just got...
Oh, so he got shot. He so maybe it, shot. Mm-hmm. Does it have to be like his descendant then? Does it die with him?
Or does it go down to the next in line?
Living I bet it would just relative. Go to the next. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some fallout from that with
Cleo's
Cleo.
Going to be pissed. Mm-hmm.
One, and he said power. Billy is gone, mm-hmm. implying we can't fix that situation.
I don't think maybe. There's an undo Reaper thing.
Maybe, maybe not. We didn't.
I don't know. I feel like some hope, maybe.
I don't know. Holt lied to Doc in the sheriff's office, though, because he was talking and he talked about Billy in the past tense, mm-hmm. and then he was like, oh, wait, they don't know what happened to Billy.
Yeah, that's right. He said change it to present
yeah,
tense.
Yeah, so that makes mm-hmm. me feel like Billy's kind of a goner.
Although, honestly, I don't think Mama Clanton was particularly open with either of her, any of her children in terms of what's what. Because it seemed like, you know, Holt was saying, I don't want to celebrate with you until I know what your plan was. So I don't think she told them very much about how things work. So maybe there is an undo button for being a Reaper, but they didn't know it. Holt doesn't know it. Possibly Cleo does. Maybe she doesn't. It still could exist. I think maybe the secret
maybe
of it died
we really
with.
Can research it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like yes. We have our ace researchers. They were able to find a way to cure Nicole, if it's possible.
Maybe Nedley's hat needs to be involved in some way.
Maybe it does.
Probably. I mean, I hope so.
Best thing I've ever seen on his head.
I do want to say thank you to everybody involved in making the show for ending the, you know, mid-season break with a not cliffhanger. Like usually yes. you get the mid-season cliffhanger, and this, you know, there are plenty of threads that are left dangling that we need to tie up in the next half of the season, but knowing that it's coming back but it's gonna be a while, it was really good for my heart mm-hmm. to have it end, you know, happily with yes. with some joy.
Aww.
Specifically some joy between the lesbians.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was so lovely. Like that moment's been a long time coming, and yep. it was nice that it got to happen with all of them there, even though mm-hmm. you know our hearts had just been ripped out.
Uh-huh.
Drunk Jeremy is adorable.
I love him.
As I said when Kirsten said this earlier, she likes Drunk Jeremy because Drunk Jeremy is drunk Kirsten.
There are some similarities.
This is true.
Yeah. It is. They're adorable.
Yep. And he just, you know, he goes, we win. She's like, oh. That is winning, though. Getting to see some true joy that's been a long time coming is that's a victory.
That's a victory.
Yep. No matter what happens next, we have this moment. We have this happiness. You know, I think, Annette, your observation in the previous episode that, you know, we were treading dangerously close to the kill your gays territory, mm-hmm. and the fact that I also agree that having Jeremy, another gay character, be the one to turn to the camera and say, trust us, was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the, you know, all of that coming to fruition and, you know, rewarding
the trust yes. by yes. giving us an engagement.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And after it was a fake wedding to give us an engagement.
Oh. And, yeah, that's right. The dream sequence wedding at the beginning.
It's trippy.
Uh-huh.
Of last
This is the
episode.
Last previous
yeah.
episode.
Yep. Yeah. We never even talked about it.
Yeah. I liked how they filmed it with all the
mm-hmm. yes.
angles.
And yeah. And can we say stuff. That, oh my God, those dresses must have been freezing because that goodness. Was real winter.
Putting those actresses in clothing that is inappropriate for the weather is painful.
God. I look forward to watching the behind the scenes bits because yes. I hope that there's something that like shows all of the giant comforters that are thrown over them in between every take because wow.
Actually, when I saw Rosita on the rock and I thought, well, at least they gave her a coat.
Yeah.
It looks like a good wool coat.
Yeah. And then when she threw her boot at Winona during the fight, I was like, oh, that's like a nice, good winter boot. Yep. Would have kept her warm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of boot you want if you're standing on a rock outcropping for 18 months. One of those boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually the scene between Rachel and Doc when they were walking around town, like that, that is proper Alberta winter.
Well,
like
the
fog
breath.
And the breath. Yes. And like, you know, it almost looked eerie because like we know what that weather is like. That's proper cold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't fake that, guys.
You can't. The breath thing is always the thing that's missing when they fake cold weather. I don't think you can fake the breath out very well.
I mean, you can, but you have to be a really good, talented, detailed visual effects artist. So like it could happen, but nobody bothers to do it in post,
right? I've seen it sometimes, but it always looks a little more smoky than actually breathy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah. Oh, you know, the deer.
Oh, so oh, many deer.
And like when the shot goes off and there's like the deer in the background and they all run, I'm like, that was just a lucky shot.
That was absolutely. That was
You can't stage that.
That was not planned. that's just living in Alberta.
It just happened to be there and they took advantage of those deer being there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I loved it.
It worked great.
White-tailed deer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, they filmed the two pieces apart, right? And when they went back to do part B, it would have been fall or summer. Like there's going to be like a season change. And I wonder how they'll handle that because we are like dead of winter right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but we almost always have winter in this show. So to have them going from winter into, I think it was spring.
I think it was.
So to have them having film in spring and summer will be really interesting and bring something else to the show. And what are they like?
Yeah.
You think it's like birth, rebirth and renewal and sort of fresh start sort of feeling of our traditional interpretations of spring, right? But will they do it or will they like subvert that like they always do with you know, like the Garden of Eden being sort of hellscape,
a
frozen hellscape.
Watch the all be wearing parkas guys in the spring. It'll just be like,
let's put them all in really warm sweaters.
Warm sweaters.
Lots of layers.
Like they also have not really, there's no clear path forward for Platt. Like it's pretty open.
They have left it wide. Yeah, because
we don't know really who the villain is.
I was going to say, there's no clear.
It could be Cleo, but also she's not terribly large and in charge when it comes to anything.
Yeah.
No.
She doesn't have her support anymore.
Like her family's gone.
It's probably the shapeshifter from the garden. Like,
right.
Because that's I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Because it got out, right?
And we have not come back to that.
That's a really good
point. So yeah, that's definitely a loose thread that's got to be pulled.
Yeah,
so
now seems like a good time for that to resurface since we've sort of put a lot of other things.
Because I think six more episodes, we think.
I think so. I can't remember. Yeah. Okay, we're getting a nod from our Cracker Jack producer.
Six more episodes.
Yep, which are now, we're going to be in the territory where it's new.
We don't know what's going to happen.
So we don't. So all of you out there who have already watch them and are listening
to
us speculate, I'm sure you're giggling.
Naivety and unknowingness.
Yes. Yep.
Which, let's face it, we were all there at one point. So you were once.
We're just so behind.
We are. And I miss everyone on Twitter because I literally muted you all and I'm sorry. But it was necessary.
Like we're living in a literal shit show and not in a good way.
Yep. Yep. It's true.
Don't come to Alberta right now. Hello, fellow Albertans.
Stay away.
Good luck to y'all.
Yep. To close out, I want to touch on that last scene again too, because they did a great job of the joy in seeing these two characters that we have been rooting for since the beginning, finally coming together and deciding to make it official. But at the same time, we also have Winona and Doc standing on opposite ends of the room.
Yeah.
Both being happy at what's happening sort of in between them.
But also,
Winona's crying, which is great because, you know, I was also crying from happiness and also sadness because I had also seen the previous scene with Winona and Doc. But, you know, crying at a wedding or an engagement is totally a normal thing. But we know that's not the only thing she's crying about.
Yeah.
And when Doc took off his hat and held it to his chest.
Well, and he was going to leave.
Yep.
No.
He's like, I can't. But he stays.
He stays. But then
her.
He slips out before it's like all done.
Yeah.
So many different emotional beats being hit in the same scene, you know, because that's also the same scene where you have Jeremy dancing around and yelling, "We win," and
handing out shots of what could have been tequila.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
And keeping him away from Rachel, even though she wants one.
I would have let her have a
shot. So many,
it's an engagement.
That was such a great scene. Such a great scene. There's so many little touches, and it just made me feel like I felt like a ball in a pinball machine, just mm-hmm. like being smacked around. Yeah. You know. Here's the joy flipper. Oh, here's the sadness buzzer. Oh, here's the, you know, like, it's just back and forth, and it was shot really well, and it made me happy and sad and scared and just all of the things all at once.
Yeah,
such a good show, you guys.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're definitely not going to do yet another episode in the same day. So
we'll take a break.
So yeah,
I'm excited to see more though.
Me too.
Yes.
It probably won't be like 4 months in between. Probably.
No, it was only three last time.
Was it three? Okay.
Wow.
Three. Math is hard. Math is very difficult. I'm too tired for the
as
math.
As long as we don't get locked down again.
Yeah, right. So we'll be back again one of these days with some stuff that's new to all of us. And if you are an Incomparable member, watch your First Class feed, because at some point we will start dribbling out the behind the scenes.
I know we haven't watched any of them.
So we're saving them for to catch up on. Yep. So, and if you want to get in on that, go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. And there's also a members only Slack group that you can join and talk to other fans of Wynonna Earp and other geeky things. And we'll be there if you want to chat.
Yeah, but no spoilers, please.
Yes, absolutely.
Strict instructions not to spoil.
Yeah,
us.
We will kick you out of the Slack so fast. Your little head.
They've been very good, actually.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. That whole Slack is just full of people.
Lovely,
who are very,
wonderful people.
Yeah, and considerate of others, which is just great. It's one of my
we
favorite corners of the internet. All right. Well, until next time, whenever that may be.
Lights out, bitch!